Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 315 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by Denise Hicks, Artistic Director of the Nashville Shakespeare Festival. And we're going to talk a little Macbeth, and we're going to get into that conversation just after these brief messages.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSers. I've got Denise Hicks joining me here, Artistic Director of Nashville Shakespeare Festival. How are you, Denise?
I am fabulous. Thanks so much for asking.
There should be a song about that, shouldn't there? So we're here today. We're going to chat a little Scottish play. So, Macbeth.
Yes, it's one of Shakespeare's shorter of tragedies, and we have made it even shorter. It's coming in at just over 90 minutes, and it's a dark, sexy, wonderful show.
Nice, nice. Now, let me see. Let me get my dates. Let me get my cheat sheet here. It opens, tomorrow as we record this, right?
Yes, it runs here at the Trout Theater from January 10th through the 27th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoons.
Oh, there you go.
We also have an additional 12 performances for high school students at 10 a.m. in the morning, so that's been that's really a fun thing for us to do, is to present this to 300 high school kids, because that's the ultimate test of whether or not you have an engaging show. So you can keep 300 teens awake at 10 a.m.
Yeah, right. Right. Now, I remember from my high school days, Macbeth was one that we had to read. I think we read through the course of our high school. I don't know how it is here in Tennessee, but in the course of Illinois high school at the time, it was like we did Hamlet, I think Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth were the ones we read in our English classes. Is this part of the school curriculum, do you know?
It is still required curriculum, and I think those are still the three, and maybe Julius Caesar as well. If it's ninth grade reads Romeo and Juliet, and 10th reads Macbeth, and 11th reads Julius Caesar, and 12th Hamlet, or something like that is the way it all plays out. So we are really happy to present a full production for the students to see, because sometimes just laying there on the page, it doesn't make as much sense, and they really don't understand the relevance. But if you have an actor up there who's you know, sweating and crying right in front of you, suddenly it all comes to life.
It beats, it definitely beats the way we did it in my high school, where we just kind of passed the part around and she went around the room and each person had to read some. And some of us, when we read it aloud, were a little more into it than others, I guess. And so comprehension sometimes was not the best. So,
you know what, though? You know what we have found? That it, really, when you read those plays, you don't have to understand every word. They're, if you read it really continuously, then the gist of it will appear. It's pretty magical the way he wrote these plays, because, you know, even actors who, you know, because you are one, but actors need to, you know, decode the language before they can actually present it in a sensible way. And it can be really complicated, but it's English and the characters are really human. And so when put all together, it's pretty amazing how much sense these plays actually make.
Yes. You're right. Now, excuse me, you have a partnership in this time around, correct? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, we do. Many, many, many years ago, I was playing Witch 3 for Tennessee Rep's production of Macbeth at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, and Paul Vasterling was the new artistic director at Nashville Ballet, and he came and choreographed us. And so I got to be friends with Paul those many years ago, and we've always talked about putting ballet dancers into one of these Shakespeare plays. And we thought we were going to do it with Hamlet, and the timing didn't work out. So then when this Macbeth rolled around, I contacted Paul and said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Yes." So I'm so excited that we have three ballet dancers from the Nashville Ballet Second Company, and a choreographer from their first company, from their main company. So they're adding a really a magical, mystical, mesmerizing dimension to the play as the witches.
Outstanding. I've seen some of the photos, and it looks very, very intriguing, you know? Strong imagery. It's really cool. Now,
I always, whenever I watch ballet dancers, I always go like, "What are they? Like, how do they do that?" And so I think that then that was what I wanted to. That's what I imagined as the witches, is superhuman,
right?
Natural, you know. So, and really, ballet dancers are like that. They're in human form. They kind of look like us, but man, can they do things that we can't do? So it's pretty awesome. They can crawl and kick and leap and just they're really, really amazingly expressive creatures.
Now, as far as is there any sort of other special sort of concept applied to it, or is it pretty much a straightforward telling of this?
It is, you know, it's as straightforward as Shakespeare ever is, because right. he was not accurate, historically accurate, you know. He did not take like the actual, he didn't try to factually tell the story of the real Macbeth. He didn't really, like Mark Twain, he didn't let facts get in the way of a good story, you know. So we never try to recreate history either. We, this production sort of creates its own world that we invite the audience to come into. If we tried to make it historically accurate, there would be historians in the audience going, "We didn't have swords like that in, you know, 1200 or whatever."
Right.
So we sort of set it in a semi-ambiguous time. There are some, the costumes have some aspects of contemporary detail, in addition to Scottish plaid and some older, you know, more medieval shapes. And so it's kind of a magical and really highly theatrical take on the story. The visuals are, as you can tell from the photographs online, really arresting. The director chose to use Robert Wilson as one of his inspirations, and he's known for just very large shapes and really bold colors on the stage. So the lighting design has just got much more deeper saturated reds, blues, and greens than you usually see on stage. There's nothing really natural about it.
So you've got, you said, excuse me, director, you've had a former Nashville theater person come back to direct this, correct? And Matt Carini?
Matt Carini was here as an actor for Tennessee Rep many years ago, and then he took over People's Branch Theater and was the artistic director for that for a while. Then he moved to Arkansas and founded the Arkansas Shakespeare Festival. He since has moved to Syracuse, where he teaches for Le Moyne College up there. So, but his edginess as a director is something that we lack here in Nashville, so I thought it appropriate to bring him back for this production, because I wanted a really keen edge on it, and that is exactly what he's brought.
Cool. Now, how do we have in our main actors this time around?
How many?
No. I mean, we've got Eric and.
Yes, Eric Patrick Crosby, who has done several roles for us. He was Laertes in Hamlet. He was Mark Antony last year in Julius Caesar. He was Berune in Our Love's Labor's Lost. And Shannon Hoppe, who's playing Lady Macbeth, actually played Rosalind to his Berune in That Love's Labor's. And she was also Lady Capulet last summer 2011. So we do have, and Brian Russell and John Royal, who are sort of our perennial favorite actors to use, because it's just so strong. And then we have a whole lot of new faces. So I was, Evelyn Brush, who played Beatrice for us last summer, is playing Lady Macduff, and doubling as one of the witches as well. There are three dancing witches and three speaking witches, and the idea is you can't tell which is which.
Which nice. Witch. Which witch is which?
But we have Aaron Munoz is new to the company. He is here in Nashville now because his wife is in a graduate program at Vanderbilt, but he's a really fine actor and combatant, actually. He's a certified stage combatant, and he's playing Macduff. And, there are a lot of new faces as well as our old favorites. So it's been exciting to pull this ensemble together because of that. There's new people always, add new energy to a company, and then the old guard gives it stability and consistency. So I feel like this is a really strong ensemble.
Well, cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it. again, those dates, it opens soon, right?
January 10th. January 10th,
as we record
Thursday
this.
Through Saturday night and Sunday afternoons until January 27th. So January 10th through January 27th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon.
Okay, and you can get tickets through Nashville Shakes?
Tickets Nashville, yeah, but the most information, directions, and ticket prices and all of that are available on our website at nashvilleshakes.org. So, and then there are also Tickets Nashville is also brokering your tickets. It's cheaper to buy online and ahead of time. You save several dollars, whereas, there aren't ticketing charges and things like that. It's really cheaper to buy in advance than to walk up. So we recommend going online and getting your tickets early.
All right. So if you're listening to this, you'll find the ticket information on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. So have you guys handled the curse? Has that been brought up?
No, it really isn't. Brian Russell, this is Brian Russell's seventh full production. It's my 11th full production of Macbeth. Nothing bad has ever happened. To me, Midsummer Night's Dream is the cursed play, because somebody always gets hurt in that play. But I don't, I always think it's, if you treat the weird sisters with respect, the play will bless you. It's not cursed at all. It's a blessing.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Denise.
Thanks, John.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead.
Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Denise Hicks, Artistic Director of Nashville Shakespeare Festival, for stopping by again and chatting about the Scottish play. Ticket information will be available on the show notes page for this particular episode, and that is available at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. If you'd like to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or you could follow the show on Twitter, InexplicableDS. @InexplicableDS is the Dumb Show's Twitter handle. And you can get all the latest comings and goings and goings on here at the Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. Next week, who knows, I think we've got a little surprise in the works to continue our discussion of the Nashville Shakespeare Festival. And if that doesn't pan out, we'll talk about something else. So until next week, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.